People usually become refugees to escape an immediate danger, often with the intention of returning home once the threat subsides. But millions of refugees spend years, even lifetimes, in exile. Some resettle in another country, others remain in camps, waiting for peace in their homelands. In time, a refugee camp may become a town. Kakuma, in Kenya, has a population of 32,000 people. It is home, though supposedly a temporary one, for refugees from several African countries, including Sudan, Somalia, and Ethiopia. In her second report on refugees, NPR's Ann Cooper explores life in a long-term refugee camp.
Bugs and bullfrogs harmonize in a nightly symphony by the parched riverbeds of Kakuma Refugee Camp. In this desolate pocket of northwestern Kenya, half a dozen international relief agencies provide the basics for life: food, clothes, water, firewood. But 4 years after its creation, Kakuma has moved from emergency relief to what aid workers call care and maintenance. That means international aid programs here also include vocational training, loans for small businesses, even a business management course for refugees.
Who are your buyers? Can they afford it? Any other?
In today's business lesson, refugee Peter Lomanit, once an official in Uganda's finance ministry, warns his students, don't try to sell goods here that people in a refugee camp can't afford.
Whatever you are selling should match with the income levels of the buyers. So like in this refugee camp, you cannot start bringing TVs.
That is what I feel.
Really, those two people, they were friends, even though Lenny was a desperate person.
Elsewhere in camp, a dozen men gather at the Refugee Book Club, thumbing tattered paperbacks as they discuss this week's selection of mice and men.
And this one, George, is a very hopeful, he was intelligent, he was doing every time the right thing. But now this one, Lenny, he could not live without George.
Whatever Kakuma's refugees have written a book of poems, built churches and mosques, opened a library, started a meditation group. About 1,000 of them work as the camp's teachers and nurses. The United Nations Refugee Agency pays them $30 to $50 a month. Some refugees have enough money to hire housekeepers for their mud huts. Kakuma, says a relief official, is the Marriott of refugee camps. And yet, to those who live here, it is not home, it is only limbo.
Staying in the camp, we are idle. The knowledge we have, we cannot exercise anywhere. We are secure, but we are not comfortable in staying.
Helen Diko Perpetua, age 24 and a high school graduate who dreams of studying medicine, articulates a frustration universal in refugee camps. Like 85% of Kakuma's residents, Perpetua is from southern Sudan, just 70 miles north of here, but scorched by a seemingly eternal civil war. In the 1980s, the Sudanese war drove tens of thousands of young boys from their homes. Some were orphans as young as 7 or 8. Others, like Deng Medeng, were teenagers fleeing armies that forced boys to take up arms.
They run away before anything. Yeah. They'd come to me and they ask me, you are now grown enough so that you can hold machines, gun, whatever.
Deng Medeng was 13 when he disappeared into the Sudanese bush. He joined one of the many packs of refugee boys who traveled in huge groups. Sometimes hundreds of boys foraged together, dodging bombs and crocodiles as they made their way first to Ethiopia, then back to Sudan, then finally to Kakuma, where Deng Medeng arrived in 1994 after a 7-year odyssey. Kakuma offered security and schools, 20 of them built specially for the Sudanese boys, who were known as unaccompanied minors. But now Deng Medeng is 22. He's about to finish school, and he's anxious to get on with life.
If I stay here in Kakuma, I will have no future, because if I stay here, there is no money which you can marry.
There's no money for you to get married?
And yeah.
International aid cannot give Deng Medeng what he most longs for now, marriage and family. He is resented by older refugees who complain that favored treatment from relief groups spoiled the unaccompanied minors, turning them into Kakuma's most troublesome residents. 2 months ago, in this normally tranquil camp, hundreds of young Sudanese men clashed with spears and knives. 6 refugees died. Dozens more were wounded. Wella Kuyu is a United Nations refugee official at Kakuma Camp.
They want to prove they are now their men. And always to express themselves is violence. They can talk, they can sit and discuss. And this is our problem. Every time they are not happy, they have to go and destroy something.
Like the new food distribution centers that were trashed in a riot last spring by young Sudanese men. As partial penance for the riots, Sudanese refugees rebuild one of the food centers. To pay for the riot damage, relief workers temporarily curtailed refugee salaries and some services. The cuts affected everyone in camp, not just the several dozen rioters, and the refugees fumed. In a normal place, they said, the innocent would not be punished with the guilty. But Kakuma, like all refugee camps, is not a normal place.
It's very scary to deal with a population in a very, very paternalistic way. But at some point, you have to tell the population this is not acceptable.
Carl Triplehorn runs aid programs in Kakuma for the U.S.-based International Rescue Committee. In the closed society of a refugee camp, he is a social engineer with vast powers over people's lives.
There's no manual, there's not a lot of guidance, and you end up making a lot more moral decisions here than I think a lot of other jobs. Moral and very, very big decisions for people.
During an evening stroll through camp, Triplehorn stops to listen to a Somali refugee playing a homemade stringed instrument. Triplehorn says he'd like to compile a how-to book for refugees, how to make a guitar, build furniture from mud, cook meals based on nothing but sorghum and lentils. These are all things the Kakuma refugees have learned to do for themselves. Despite their resourcefulness, though, the refugees here are deeply dependent on international aid, aid that Triplehorn says in some cases is better than the services they had at home.
This place is a very definite magnet because boys are coming from South Sudan specifically to get education here. Is that a bad thing? Is that a good thing? People are getting educated that provides labor for South Sudan in the future. So I think that's a good thing, but you are increasing the number of refugees and it creates a problem in the future that it's going to be more difficult to get them to go back.
Of course, the return of most Kakuma refugees would first require peace in Sudan, where civil war rages on almost unnoticed by the outside world. No one in the relief community wants to call Kakuma a permanent town, but with each passing year, the refugees' roots here, as in so many other camps around the world, grow deeper. I'm Ann Cooper, reporting.